All right, everybody, thank you for tuning into the podcast today. We got a very special guest, guitarist of the band Red IV, my old buddy Corey Epps. I just say, what's up, man?
How's it going, brother?
All right, man. So, dude, I haven't seen you in about well over 10 years, man. Yeah, it's crazy, man.
It's been a good long minute.
I do have you on Facebook, but that's a whole other interaction, a whole other monster, man. But for the past couple years, man, I mean, I've noticed you're keeping the dream alive, man. You still got this whole rock thing going on, man. And I remember you back in the day in high school. You carried around a guitar every once in a while, and I knew you were like really into music and, you know, one of the metalheads back in the day. I've seen a lot of that stuff on Facebook that you're still keeping that going, man. So I know you got this new gig coming up, man, Red IV. Tell me a little bit about that, man. How'd y'all start off, and you know, how long have y'all been around, and where y'all going from here?
Well, the band that I'm with right now, it's we've been together for about a year, but the whole thing from Red IV, it stemmed off about maybe a good 3 years ago. I used to play with my acoustic after I got out of a band called Tirade. And after we were done doing that, I used to go and try to do acoustic gigs by myself. And I didn't really like calling myself Corey Epps. And it was so I tried to find a name that I could find to put on the poster itself. And it came to me in a dream. It was Red Ivy, almost like the plant. And then so I did that for a couple months by myself. And then I slowly brought in members. I have my buddy Jeff here. He used to do a little jamming with me too. And then we went through a lot of different singers. And then eventually I tried to patent the name, and I found out Red Ivy, like the plant, was actually taken already. So we ended up going and patenting IV, like I dot V dot. And then I thought it was pretty cool because we ended up making the name towards like a blood injection, like an IV. So it was like Red IV, and then...
Hence the image for the band.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah, and man. So... we got that going on, and I ran into Emilio, and then after Emilio came in along, we had a lot of other people that came in and out of the band, and we've had a good little lineup, but the one that we're using right now, it's the one, it has me, Emilio Ledesma, Joseph Heron, and David Dragon, and we've been doing that for a good solid year and a half, I think, almost now.
Alright.
It's been pretty good, man. Gigs, we got one this weekend. And we got one the next week after that, and then we got one right before 4th of July. But we're just trying to stay busy, my brother. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, dude. That sounds real busy, man. So what places that you can remember off your head? Because I know y'all have played a ton of gigs, man. But name some places that y'all played at, man. I know y'all played Bonds, right? You used to play Bonds a lot.
Bonds is probably our one of our home away from homes. We play Bonds almost at least once out of every month. And besides Bonds, we play a lot at Fitzgerald's up there off of San Pedro. And we used to play at the White Rabbit before it changed to the Paper Tiger or something like that. But we played the Rabbit about a good 3 or 4 times before it shut down. And then we've done Zombies. We've done Zombies. Oh, yeah? And yeah. Papa Woody's. We love playing at Papa Woody's. We've seen that club come up from, I think, all the way from back when it used to be the Blue Mustang, right, Joe?
Oh, is that on the corner of South Presa?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one, yeah.
That was a good little rock scene out there, and then they got a promotion from 99.5 Kiss.
Yeah.
And ever since then they've really taken off with their music scene up there. And what's another good ones we played? Zombies, Fitzgerald's, Jack's. Yeah, Jack's Patio. We've been there too.
Oh, yeah.
There's
a
lot of them. There's too many to count, honestly, I think, brother.
Yeah, I understand, dude. But, you know, that's a good problem to have, man.
Yeah.
So I want to get into it fairly quickly about the show you have this weekend, because whenever local bands throw big shows like this, man, I mean, they need all the support they can get.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, I've been in bands before as well, you know, even when I was in high school, and, I was in a band a few years ago. And it's tough, dude. It's fucking tough, man, being in a band, especially local. You know, people think that, because, I mean, everybody you know knows somebody that plays an instrument or that is in a band, but how serious do they take that band? So, I mean, you have friends, I have friends, you probably have family, I have family that have been in bands or are in bands, and if they say, I'm going to play a gig, you know, this weekend over here, they think, oh, okay, cool, you're going to play that little bar. But they don't know the work that goes into actually putting on a festival that you are going to put on.
Exactly.
I mean, you're going to put a festival that's running from 12 to 12 on a Saturday, and it's nothing but metal bands. You're going to want as much support as you can get. And whether or not people can make it or not, you're going to want those people to spread it around. And even if they can't do that, you just want the appreciation. I mean, it's going to put your name out there, you know?
Yeah, just the word of mouth. A lot of times, too, when we do these big shows, it's also we're trying to build a fan base or a family base. It's kind of we play with these bands. And sometimes, like I've told the boys in the past, that playing shows, sometimes a lot of people don't know that we end up playing just to the band and their close friends. And you become closer friends to them. And it's out there, and you just you meet a lot of good people, but it is also a struggle sometimes doing shows every weekend, because not everybody always comes out. But the main thing is hopefully just the word of mouth and people seeing it, because social media, it sometimes plays a big part of the nowadays thing. So if people, so a lot of times I've heard a lot of people, they've seen the name of the band, or they've seen a sticker somewhere, or they've seen a flyer, and that's honestly, if they haven't seen the band, that's still a good thing, because it's in their mind out there that they know the name. And it's like one of the big ones I see around town is NoFX. I see stickers on stop signs and on walls and spray painted NoFX everywhere, but I've never been to a NoFX concert. But it's out there, you know what I mean? But for this Saturday, we have almost a band every hour, and so we're hoping to make enough noise to where we could bring people out of their houses slowly and surely and get them out there to at least check it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I remember back whenever we were little, we used to play baseball out there in the Legion.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of, I'm really stoked just to be out there and hanging out there doing that. Because I remember as a little boy, I used to run around that stage up there. And supposedly we're going to have two stages out there from what I heard. So,
oh, shit. Okay.
So yeah, hopefully we have a good turnout. And I know it's an all-day event. And it's hot out here in Texas. So
yeah. Hey,
just gotta try to stay cool.
Yeah. So what do y'all have going on? So it's gonna be at the American Legion in Somerset. For the people that don't know, Somerset is right outside of San Antonio. If you take Somerset Road south, if you just pretty much take that all the way to the end, mm-hmm. You can't miss the American Legion. It's right past downtown Somerset on Somerset Road. What times and what's the cost to get in for that?
Okay. It should be it should start, it says at 12, but I think our first band is actually going to be going on about 1:20, I think. Let me check my schedule here.
Okay.
It should be about 1:20. And right now, like, honestly, I could sell some tickets to my close friends for probably about $5 or $10. You know, it depends. I mean, if I know you, you'll get your good prices. But I know the day of the show, they might be a little bit more expensive. I know there's also going to be food and drinks, and they're gonna have little booths out there. It says right here, it starts at, let me see, 12. Yeah, I think 12.
Okay.
There's so many different flyers on everything I'm trying to go through, but we got a lot of good bands. Like there's Shotgun Vendetta that's supposed to be out there, Jesse Kill from San Antonio, SA Territories, Smoking Guns, Catastrophic Melody. Those boys are actually playing first. And
okay.
If anybody's ever heard of them, I would suggest to check out Catastrophic Melody. These guys are really, really, really good. And I think Dark Star Rising or Dark Sun Rising. There's a lot of other bands, but I gotta tell people too. It's hard to focus on one band. So I'm trying to get everybody out there. There's a little taste for everybody, for a little everything. It's not too heavy, but most of the majority of the music is I guess heavy metal.
Okay. All right, man. With that being said, what time does Red Ivy go on? What time do y'all hit the stage?
I think it's we're playing at 10:30.
Okay.
It might be 10:30 or going into 11. It depends if any bands drop or if they show up late. Because a lot of times too, we're bringing a lot of bands from San Antonio.
Okay.
And we're trying to bring them out here to Somerset, and it's a little drive. It's a small drive to get out here, but it depends too, but honestly, 10:30, I should be hitting the stage and setting up everything.
Okay, what about your gigs after that? So this Saturday is a big one. I want to stress that one the most, because I think a lot of the people that listen to the podcast are from the Somerset area.
Awesome.
If it gets out to San Antonio, I'm more than happy, and I actually know there's some people outside San Antonio, Corpus and stuff, that listen to the podcast as well. So, other than the big one that we got in Somerset this weekend, what else do you have after that?
We got another good show. It's coming up. It's going to be it's also done by my bass player, Two Smiles Promotion. It's going to be bringing in the Independence Day. We're going to be down at Papa Woody's. It's also sponsored by 99.5 Kiss. We're going to be playing. It's going to be Red Ivy, Year of the Snake, The Hollow Men, and Seance. And that's going to be July 3rd, 2015. It's going to start at 7 o'clock. It's only $5 for that show. It's real, a real affordable show, you know.
Yeah.
And if anybody's ever seen Papa Woody's, it's right there off of South Presa. It's a real good local San Antonio bar.
All right, cool, man. I'm going to have to try to make it out to one of those, dude. I mean, I know I haven't before, but I mean, as even if I can do this on a podcast and get you and your band out there, you know, I feel like I can do a special part in helping y'all out, because I've been there. I was in Corrosive, you know, 10 plus years ago.
Yeah, you might not know, but that band really inspired me whenever you were back in that band in high school. It really inspired me to do what I'm doing today. Honestly, Tony, I used to watch you and Gilbert and all those guys get down and they do little shows there in town, and I know that you guys are doing shows in town, and I used to tell my brother Rocky that, man, that's what I want to start doing. And once I got my first show in under my boots, and I got addicted. There's no other feeling than all that music pumping through your all together like as one, and it's very addictive for me. And you played a big part in my coming up as a musician, because you were actually rock and rolling during high school.
Yeah, man, yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah, dude, those were the tough days, man. I mean, it was the easy days, but it was the tough days. Mm-hmm. Easy days because we didn't have to work. You didn't have to worry about money. Mm-hmm. You know, back in those days, you know, my parents, you know, I was lucky enough to where when I mentioned that I wanted to play guitar, my dad went out and bought me a guitar. He bought me a small amp. I used to jam with Joey K back in the day.
Yeah.
Before we even started Corrosive, or, you know, we started doing that, we used to go to his house over there in Somerset and just play on that pavement that he had out there. And we used to just bring different people to play drums. And then, you know, after that, Gilbert, he heard us one time, so he wanted over there to go. He wanted to go sing vocals. We just started messing around, dude. We started going to the Legion just to go jam every once in a while. And then, you know, a band formed. You know, we started as a cover band back then, just playing nothing but radio covers. And then we slowly started. We wanted to play different places, bars and stuff like that. We didn't want to be local anymore, so we wanted to try to branch into San Antonio. We started creating our own music. That worked out pretty good. You know, we actually even threw a metal fest there at the American Legion, I think, when I was like a sophomore or junior. Have you been to the Legion lately, man?
Not really. I've been down there every now and then. I'll come into town and I'll grab a beer. I know. I think it's pretty ironic, though, that a lot of my uncles, whenever I was growing up, they were always out there drinking at the Legion. And now that I'm older, I go out there to the Legion and I find a lot of our age guys out there that are used to be in the military. Now they're out there drinking in the Legion. They pretty much took our uncle's spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's still the same old, I think. But, man, I remember I used to have a Corrosive CD. It was all red. It was I used to have that for many years, and I think me and Rocky used to drive around the hood over here and blast it in his big old black Bronco that he used to have. So it's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, dude. If at the Legion, man, let me know, dude. If I'm not able to make it out this Saturday, which I want to say that I can for a little while, there's a black stage that's on the stage up there. There should be, at least. Me and my dad actually built that stage for the Metal Fest because we wanted to have a platform for the drummers.
Oh, nice.
Like whenever you go like to an actual concert, you know, you don't see the drummer on the same floor as everybody else. They're
He's
a little elevated,
hiding in the back, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So let me know if it's still out there, because if it's out there, that thing is 10 plus years old, and I just want to make sure it's 30.
It's a little piece of history, you know.
I do miss those days. I gotta say, man, I have a lot of respect for you now, though, because you're actually still living it, dude. You're still doing it, man. And now, you know, I would have loved to still been doing it. Things came up. Things happened. You know, I don't have a guitar anymore, things like that. But I know I could still well on a guitar if I had it in my hands, you know. The fact that you're actually still doing it, though, you know, especially at this age, this many years down the road since high school, since I last saw you, it says a lot, man. I think whenever you see somebody at this age that's still doing that, they have drive, and I think that's what you can tell what bands want to actually make it, you know. By now, if there's people out of high school that were jamming during high school, and if they're still not really doing it, then you kind of figured that they were just doing it because it was a hobby.
Yeah.
But now you're doing it, you're still doing it because it means something to you, man. You want to take it somewhere.
Yeah.
And I respect that. It takes a certain person, and I should say it takes a certain group of people.
Yes, sir.
That want to actually make that strive on. Are y'all looking at branching out as far as like other, you know, other cities or anything like that as well? Maybe pulling up a van and a trailer and driving up to
honestly,
Austin?
Honestly, right now with our label, we're actually working with a label called YKM. And this first year, we're on a 3-year deal. And this first year, we're putting out our EP, which is a six-song EP.
Okay.
And that's going to be taking about a good half a year to finish. And then after that, the second year is all touring. And we're going to be doing a small tour starting from here from Texas, going to Oklahoma, to Colorado, and I think it was New Orleans. But then we're after that, the label has a the music scene. I mean, it's awesome here in the Texas, and it's also in the United States. But the big thing is American music is big on across the pond.
Oh yeah.
In Europe and in Japan, it might be Japan or Tokyo. I'm not sure which one. It's ever one of those Asian
especially
countries.
Especially metal, dude.
And so that's what our label is trying to do. They're trying to send us across the seas. And they already got us getting our passports ready, and they're getting our the credentials ready that we need to travel. And so whenever we signed the deal, they told us that a big part of our last part of our 2-year contract is going to be traveling and getting this whole music across the seas, because there's a lot of money to be made out there, and it's also a lot of online. I think what is it like a SoundCloud, and what do they have all these new? They have all these new things that they have nowadays.
Oh yeah,
and so it's. That's a big part about it, and I've told my wife and I've told my friends too. Hey, once I get the call and I can go, I would actually go, cause I don't care if it's playing to one person or a bunch of people, and if they like it and I don't know how to speak their language, I'ma still sit there and jam out for them. You know what I mean, brother?
Yeah, dude, definitely, man. And you know what that is, dude? That's what you call the love for the music, man. Not a lot of people have that. Some people would be embarrassed or have too much of an ego to want to go and play a small bar or club with 10 people in it, or if it's just family or if it's just friends and it's not really another crowd or a base that you don't know. But when you got love for the music and that's all that matters, I mean, dude, you're gonna play, man. It doesn't matter.
Well, it's true, because one of these before I'm not gonna call out any vocalist that I specifically, but I in my bands before, I had a singer at the time too. Whenever we would do a show, he would perform a lot more better whenever there would be at least 20 or more people in the house. And then let's say if there was just 7 people there that night, he wouldn't perform to his fullest. And I always told him that it doesn't matter if it's one person or 100 people, you got to put out that what we're trying to sell, the passion, you know, because people will still see it. And you gotta stay driven too as yourself, because if you find yourself losing the rush or losing the excitement because there's not enough people in the house, then like you said, you might be doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, exactly, man. You know what, dude? You hit on a good point right there, because I remember a few years ago, I was in a band called Before the Plagues as well with some buddies that I met from San Antonio. And what's funny, man, what's funny how I met these guys is I don't know if you've heard of this other band before. Their name was Brotherhood few years ago.
I think I have.
I had tried out with them. We didn't really bond well in one practice. So, this was when MySpace was big at the time. Mm-hmm. So I tried out with them, and then maybe like a month later, I ran across this band called Before the Plagues that, they were looking for a guitarist. So I went up to one practice with them. Actually, what happened is, the guitarist sent me guitar tabs, and the music, and said, here's 3 songs, learn these in a month, we're going to give you a practice. So we went, fucking nailed it. And then we started going from there. Now that as well, Before the Plagues, they were already playing at the White Rabbit. They had it pretty good at the White Rabbit. They knew some of the owners, and the drummer from Brotherhood was actually one of the managers there as well. They're one of the owners there as well. So it actually helped that we were getting later slots. We had decent crowds show up. The first show that I had there with that band, I think I want to say we pulled like maybe 70 people. That actually pulled through the door for us.
And that's really
and
good.
A lot of it was family and a lot of it was friends. Now, the point that I wanted to hit on because of what you just said is I remember going fucking all out on that show, man. Headbanging, jumping around, doing whatever it was that I was doing, man. We're doing our solos. I used to get kind of nervous, you know, whenever mm-hmm. you're playing in front of a crowd. But whenever you know that you're just going to go out there, you're just going to rock it, you're going to put your emotions into it, and it's because you want to do it. It's not because you're worried about how silly you think you look or how stupid you think you look. You're doing it because the music brings that out of you.
Yeah.
So after that show, we had tons of people come up on our MySpace commenting about, that was the first time seeing our band, you know, we left a good impression, you know, we had good stage movement, stage presence. And that's when I was like, whoa, holy shit, dude, somebody other than a friend or family is actually saying that, you know, they liked us or they enjoyed us. So that's whenever you say, man, it doesn't matter if you're paying for one person or 10 people or 100 people.
You never know who's watching.
Exactly, dude. That's the biggest fucking point, man. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad we have that understanding.
Yeah, it is, because I've seen a lot of really good bands. And I mean, I'm telling you, they can wail. Some of these guitar players can do all kinds of tricks, but they don't move. And then whenever they don't move, it's kind of... I mean, I don't know, like, when as a patron to go watching these guys play, I like seeing someone get out there and jam, like, completely, like, out-of-body experience, like you said. Yeah. You might think that you feel silly, like you said, but you're out there. It's also feels good, because that's, like, our release. To me, like, it's all week's work. I used to be just full-time jamming, and all week long I had a bunch of stress on me, and also the family and the baby and all this other stuff. But whenever I came to the stage and I was able to jam out, that was my actual release and stress reliever of the week. And and that's how I feel about practice too. It's also we do the same thing too at practice. Sometimes we'll get over there and we'll act like it's a live show out there, and it's in the little house and just me, the boys and our wives, and we're still out there jamming, and it's fun, because it's also, I think it's also healthy for the soul for you to do that. But there's a lot of people out there, and sometimes you see the passion in them and the drive, and it's really good to see that nowadays. Because honestly, I've told my wife too, I thought that the music scene was dying, and honestly, I told him even if it died out, I was still gonna truck right through it, man.
Yeah, you know, there was a period maybe about 10 years ago that the music scene was actually more like metalcore, man. There was a lot of metalcore, hardcore bands that were out there, dude. But I mean, if it can shift, man, a little bit to where, you know, heavy metal is going, man, I'd be more than happy to see that, dude, honestly, man.
I do, too.
What are some of your influences, man? Some of the bands that you listen to, whether it's in the past or now, that, you know, that make you say, like, oh, fuck yeah, you know? That's why I want to fucking jam, you know? I want to be like them, or you want to write shit like them.
Oh, well, with the shows I've seen that really changed my perspective and made me, at least, it's continued my drive over these years. I've saw a band called God Forbid.
They've been around for a while, dude. Yeah,
and then I've seen Lamb of God at least twice. And Lamb of God, it's, most people don't know that they record their music separate areas around wherever they live at, and then they come together for a practice and then they jam it out. And I thought that's a unique way of recording it. It's kind of different, but then you see them do it live, and it's amazing. Devil Driver is one of my, that's one of my, like, people say that they go to church on Sunday. I that's my church right there. It's Devil Driver. It used to be Cold Chamber. Yeah. But man, that's another, when I saw live, it blew me away. Trivium and Killswitch Engage, those guys, that's the type of metal I like going and paying to see.
Yeah.
But like the music that helps me, I listen to nowadays, most people really don't know, is, I don't know if you've heard of a band called City in Color.
Sounds familiar. I don't think I've heard of him.
It's a singer called Dallas Green. It's more of a guy and his guitar, and he could really just sing. And that helps me too. Like, I used to work in the oil field. I used to just drive, and that's one of those CDs I could put. And if you ever worked in the oil field, it takes about a good hour, 2 hours to drive to work. And that's one of the ones that used to get me off after work or before work, to not necessarily pump me up, but just to get my mind right from waking up in the morning. And it's a lot of softer side. I mean, I have a little bit of taste of everything, so that way I'm not just one side. Because when I was growing up, a lot of my friends and a lot of my close friends, they would be all about black metal, or they'd be just about death metal or speed metal. And then if anything else that we talked about, it sucked. And nowadays, those guys they're branching into older music, and that, you know, so if they're, and it's, that's why I say music is starting to slowly come back around, because it's not one-sided like it used to be. Everybody else was, I think we used to make a joke back in the day that people were posers. And and for a time, there was a lot of posers nowadays. And like, I live downtown, and I see these little hipsters, and I see them walking around, and I'm like, oh, wow, cool. What band you playing, man? And then they're like, oh, I don't play any music. And I'm like, oh, wow. So you skate? And they're like, no, I don't skate either. So I'm like, oh, wow. So it's still out there, but you know, I never really worry about it too much. It's honestly, the music that really touched me was honestly the blues. The blues showed me that you could sit there and tell a story just with just your voice and a guitar or the piano, you know. And it, that really helped shape my whole view on life. And the blues lead to so many different other genres of music. It kind of leaves you in an area where you're open for pretty much anything.
Yeah, dude. And I got to agree, man. Blues guitar and blues music in general, that's just it's beautiful, dude. You can come up with some, I mean, like you said, you can sit there and either just be with your guitar by yourself and just play, and it's peaceful. Whenever I think of that, I think of me sitting outside like on a 100-acre ranch in the back patio, just the guitar, sunny day, wind blowing.
Maybe a good Corona in your hand.
There you go.
You know?
That's exactly what it is. God damn it, Corey. Why do I seem like, why do we feel like brothers right now? See, God damn it, dude.
That's what I'm saying. You got to. That's what I've told Jeff, too. It's like we might not see each other for many years, but honestly, if you ever really, truly had a connection with anybody, and if you're a real person, like me and my wife tell you, if you're a real, real, a genuine person, you know, you can get along with anybody.
Yeah.
And it's honestly, music also brings people together. I've learned that over the years. And it's like I was telling Jeff, too, it's kind of sad whenever you see people give up on stuff, because like I have friends, too, that they'll be like, oh, I used to play. And it's no, you still can play. I mean, like I said, Ian, they're like, well, I haven't played in 7 years. It's like, no, well, it's your hands, as long as you haven't broke them, they could probably still do it. The same thing with singing. I'm not a good singer, but you catch me in the restroom or you catch me on the road, I'm singing my heart out, you know. So it just feels like music's the only thing that's been actually real in my life. It's never changed. Religion for me is my music. Even nowadays, I've had friends that they'll change their religion and they'll go from one aspect of things, and I've had people that'll do 180 on the way that they were raised on their life, and then do another 180 whenever they meet a girl, and it just depends. But the one thing that's always stayed the same is the music and the soundtrack to their life that they live by.
Yeah, I gotta agree with you on that, man. God damn it, dude, you're hitting it right on the head today, Corey. That's all I could say, man.
Yeah, I haven't even smoked yet either.
So one of the other things I wanna get into, man, is misconceptions. Because I've known you since back in high school, you were one of the guys that had probably had one of the biggest sense of humor, dude, like ever back then, man.
Well, thank you, brother.
You're always making jokes. You'd always laughing. You'd find the funniest things to laugh about. But yet, and this is just going off misconceptions, man. If somebody were to see you that doesn't know you, and you got a rocker thing going on, dude, and that's perfect, man, for exactly what you're trying to do. But if somebody comes up to you or sees you that doesn't know you, right away, dude, they're gonna think like, oh, this guy, fuck him, you know, he's wearing this and wearing that, or he's probably mad all the time.
Honestly, a lot of people, they give me the ugly, scared look, or they think I'm a devil worshiper, or they think I'm a hippie sometimes, or they'll, it's a lot of that. It's funny, though. I think it's what I've always said, too. I told my wife, I never judge a book by its cover. But a lot of the time, you got, like me, myself, I live on the east side now. And I see a lot of weird people out there. And so even though, like, I'm always get mad at people for let's say, judging me by the book of its cover, but I also do the same thing, too. So, but also, you got to also find yourself to look deeper than that. That's why I always end up trying to have a conversation with the most randomest person sometimes. Because sometimes some of these people out there that are out there all around the place are just as interesting as we are, or just or been through a lot. Like, I learned that a lot from going to bars when I was younger. I don't go to bars as much as I used to, but during from 21 to 25, I was really, really into bars, and I met a lot of interesting people, and a lot of the older cats. I met some people from Vietnam and some other guys that been through war, and they have so many stories, man, and it's amazing the life that they lived, and then we're sitting right there next to each other in the chair, and you learn a lot from people, and I try to apply that to my own life, to try to take all the good in and remember it, so that way I'm not trying to live my life and say I should have done this, because I have a lot of friends too that say they should have done this, they should have done that, or you know, and I feel like I wouldn't want to live like that. It would be, take your chances, always go for it, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Like Shia LaBeouf says, just do it.
Yeah, man, I know, dude, that you're a good guy, man, and I don't want people coming off with this misconception of you. Whether the people that listen to this podcast, you know, because there are, let's face it, there's probably people that are going to go on Facebook, and once we, you know, put your band name on there and your Facebook page on this link, when they see you, they're probably going to automatically think, like, dude, that dude's a fucking rocker. But he's probably mad all the time, or he probably hates his life.
Yeah.
Or, dude, not. This is not, dude. You just love a certain type of music. So what?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, if you want to go have a Cannibal Corpse session right now, I'll go in there with you and listen to it. Because,
yep.
Dude, I love that music. I love heavy metal, too. Trivium was one of my influences when I was growing up, because that dude was so young when he first came out, mm-hmm. and he was, like, one of the best guitarists that came out of Florida.
Yeah.
And it's just a big misconception. I hope people get past that. One of the things that I remember back in high school that people never, okay, so this is one of the things that people never really understood, because I was in athletics. I played football. I lifted weights,
mm-hmm.
but I also listened to this music, and I also had friends that were, you know, whatever. So back then, of course, there was different groups. There was the band geeks. There was the jocks. There was the goths. Everything. Yeah,
I remember the goths, man.
Yeah, man. Dude, I had friends with, you know, in a lot of those groups, man. There was days where I could hang out with the guys from athletics. There was days where I could hang out with the guys that listened to metal music. So what? And I remember whenever we had recorded our CD with Corrosive, in Ms. Blake's class, in history class, I asked her if we can put it on, because I wanted everybody to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of figured that there was going to be like a raw reaction. And I remember this girl's face. I'm not going to say her name. I have this fucking girl's face etched in my mind forever, because this is when I first came across Misconceptions. We put on the CD. First song starts, guitar, drums, whatever. Vocals come in. Of course, it's screaming, it's yelling. The first thing she says, "You can't understand anything he's saying." I looked at her, and in my mind, I was like, "Bitch, I'm gonna smash your face into the fucking wall right now if you don't." That's the misconception is that everybody has, is that they don't know. Okay, they don't understand what you're saying. They're not saying anything. That's not real music. No, you just don't understand it. It's because it's not. They don't understand it. It's because they don't take the time to understand it. Whether or not they don't like the music at all, or that type of genre of music, it means something to different people. There's talent in this stuff, you know. I mean, it's not everybody can just get up and start singing and yelling or screaming or whatever. You have to train your voice. You have to train your throat and everything to get that way, you know.
It's not as easy as it looks, as one could say.
It's not. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I mean, even me. I mean, I got caught up into the corporate the corporate stuff after high school. So, you know, here I am wearing a polo and slacks and dress shoes. But shit, dude, I could fucking go to a White Rabbit concert right now, man, and have the time of my life.
Your shadow
dude.
On the floor still has the spiky hair and the bracelets and the
yeah,
you
dude.
Know? So it's good, because you gotta make sure we stay true to ourselves sometimes. Even though, like I said, even though like some of my friends are in there doing the 9-to-5 behind the cubicle and their desk, but yet they still have their earbuds in and they're probably still rocking and rolling. You know what I mean? It's good, because you don't want. Like I said too, my mom and dad, they always wanted to tell me, turn it down. My mom's one of those, my mom is still one of those ones that is always never really proud of what I've done, what I do, or what I am. And that's kind of sad, because I've seen some people out there in the music scene, their parents believe in them so much. And I've seen one guy, he took his son, him and his band, on tour all around the United States, because his son was the drummer and he believed in him. And I was like, wow, it would mean so much to have that. But growing up in a house where, like you said, the misconception of like it's devil music, or what my dad always used to tell me, what's wrong with you? I feel like my dad was Hank Hill from King of the Hill. He would always tell me, what's wrong with you, boy? And, you know, we are who we are, and it just to make sure that we don't lose ourselves, because my son, I try to raise him the way, everybody always asks me, so your son's probably, how old is he now? He's 7. Oh, he should be a really good guitar player. Like, I've tried it. I bought him 2 guitars, and he's not really into that right now. He's more into karate. But, you know, eventually when he gets older, he might come around, and that'll be his thing. But like I said, each one of us, we're born with a certain light inside us, and so we got to follow our own little journey. That's how I see it, because my son is a splitting image of me, but yet he's different. He's not like his daddy. He's not running around and digging holes and burying birds and stuff like that. But so it just gotta stay true. And I get a lot of sneers and looks around town. Sometimes people always with having dreadlocks, a lot of times people think you're a dirty person. You know, with the beard, they think you're a bum. And Like, most people don't know that I get paid to play rock and roll now, and it's just, they're like, well, when are you gonna clock in to work, or when are you gonna get a regular job? And a lot of people don't know that I had a regular job for a good 10 years and played rock and roll. And I was telling my wife too, it's funny, nobody cared when I had a job and when I had to go out and jam out on the weekends, and when I had to jam out on the weekends, show back up to work the next day hungover at 7 o'clock in the morning. And nobody gave me a round of applause for doing that or nothing like that. But the minute I didn't have a job and I did that, then I was considered, I guess, like a lazy bum. Or I was the, when are you going to grow up? I've had a couple people tell me that. I just laughed. I just laughed whenever they told me that. When are you going to grow up? And when are you going to give up your dream? And I tell people, it's kind of sad whenever someone tells you, when are you going to grow up? Because honestly, in America, like our parents told us, you could be whatever you want to be. And it's funny because they told us that when we were younger. And honestly, Tony, it's the truth. In America nowadays, you can be whatever you want to be. Like my friends back in high school, we used to have friends that like to beat each other up and fight all the time. You know what? Now they have MMA, and they get a sponsor, and they get paid, and now they get paid to fight.
Exactly. Yeah.
And also, people that love to ball. You got these gangsters that like to ball. They love to ball. And now they have these little small leagues where you can go and play on the weekends. Same for football, basketball, anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
It's no different. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's no different, dude. Just because, for whatever reason, if these people want to say that about you, just because you have, you know, a beard or dreads or, you know, tattoos on your arms that everybody can see, so what? You know, you're getting paid to do what you love. And at that point, it's work, but it's fun. So it's really not work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all I can say is that's envy.
Yeah. And I've also said too, because I've been in bands where people have tried to, they've tried too hard to be a certain type band. And also, that kind of it takes the fun out of it. And I've been in a couple bands where it doesn't become fun anymore. It kind of becomes, like you said, work, and it's redundant. And then it's kind of leaves you stuck playing a certain type of genre of music versus how we do it now is we go into a room and we jam. I start jamming. Emilio says, "Hey, I got this little riff, and we'll go with that, and we'll try to see what we create with it." But versus, there was a good chunk of my life where we can only play grunge, or we can only play. Like I said, my buddies wanted to sound just like Pantera, and I love Pantera, but I don't want to be exactly like Pantera.
Yeah.
You know? And it just nowadays. I always try to tell the musicians to be creative. Be creative, because not a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people aren't being creative these days.
Yeah, man. There can only be one Pantera, to put it that.
Yeah, true. That is true.
Yeah. So what are some? I know you mentioned that you listen to blues music, or you really like blues music. But what are some other genres of music that you like? That not doing the band thing, but you know, if you're just a day off, you're just hanging out, relaxing, or whatever. You're just drinking a beer outside or something like that. What do you listen to that, you know, eases your mind?
It's country. Okay. A lot of people, they don't really know, but I love to sit back and, like I said, go hang out at the ranch or hang out with my best friend and just listen to some country music. Like you said, enjoy a cold beer and watch the sunset. It's one of those favorite pastimes of mine. We used to grow up, and back in the day, I know you used to know, Tony, we used to throw parties, and we'd bring our trucks all around, and we used to just sit on the back of the tailgate and just drink and hang out, and I really enjoy that. I used to really, really, really enjoy that. Nowadays, I'm starting to get into a little bit the more Tejano, a little bit, because my wife, she's starting to flavor me up a little bit. And so, that's where I find my peace at, honestly.
Yeah, man. I'm definitely not mad at that, man. Same here, man. I'm all across the board on different genres, you know. Before, when I was like 19 or 20, when I used to really listen to all the just metal, like straight metal music, I didn't turn on the radio stations at all, dude. I always had a CD on or something. I was like, at that point, I was like a rebel against music that was on the radio.
Against,
you know,
mainstream, right?
Yes, dude, big time. I didn't want to listen to any hip hop, no rap music, no country music. I didn't want to listen to the alternative rock. I didn't want to listen to none of that, dude. I was just straight, you know, give me something from the underground, and I want to listen to that. You know, I want to go to the. For a while, when I first met my wife, she didn't understand it. You know, she would, because I'm the kind of guy that if I'm in my car or my truck, I blast the shit out of my radio. Mm-hmm. You know, I there's no way I can have it just on, you know, volume 5. You know, I need to put it on volume 30.
Yeah, and you can't. Yeah, I'm the same way. You can't listen to it on the 1 or 2. That's not. You can't feel the music.
Exactly, man. And I used to take her to a bunch of shows when we first met, and she didn't understand it at all, man. She was one of those, you know, one of those people. She never listened to that stuff because she didn't understand it. She had a big misconception about it. But then I came along, you know, gauges in my ears, eyebrow pierced, you know, things like that, and started getting tattoos and stuff. And then she slowly started understanding the kind of person that I am, the kind of person that I really am. For anybody that's listening to this podcast, if you see people like that, don't automatically think that they hate their lives or that something's wrong with them. You know, everybody's a genuine person. Just because they listen to a different type of music, it doesn't mean anything. There's Christian music for all you people that want to talk about devil music. Mm-hmm. There's Christian bands, metal bands that are out there that speak the word of God that are
and
you
that
know,
are probably heavier than these regular hardcore bands.
Yeah, dude, I love it, man. My biggest example, August Burns Red, dude. I love that band, man. And a lot of their word is you know, it is powerful, man. It's meaningful and powerful.
Right?
It is. It definitely is, man. And it's crazy. They have breakdowns and little solos and things like that. And awesome music, man. But two people that I can think of, man, that could probably talk on the same level as us, man. Jeremy, my buddy Jeremy, man. He's really into the underground music, man. I mean, me and him, anytime we're in each other's vehicles, dude, that's all we do, man, is just blast the radio. And anytime I hear of a new band or he hears of a new band, we always text each other and we're like, dude, download this album. Go get this album right now, man. It's bad, dude. Check it out.
See, I've been trying to stay relevant too. I try to ask some of my younger friends because honestly, my music nowadays, it stops at a certain point. And like one of the newer bands that I ran into was Alexis on Fire.
Oh, yeah.
They're not new, but I finally ran into them because of one of my younger friends. Also, Johnny Craig. What's that band's name? Can't think of it. He's in another band, Amorosa.
Oh, yeah.
And those guys, I was turned on to those guys by a younger friend of mine. He's about 21 now. Me, I'm about 29 now. So there's a small gap of music where I haven't really caught up to it. But it's good to see that it's still out there and it's still good albums that we could catch. We could hear with our ear and, man, we're like, oof, that's how it's supposed to be done.
Yeah, exactly, man. The other guy I was going to mention, dude, Rocky, man. Rocky, dude, I haven't seen Rocky as well. You know what? I saw Rocky at a Lamb of God show, actually, a few years ago.
I think I was at that one. I got a concussion at that show.
Nice, dude. Dude, you, sir, are a rock and roller. But Rocky, dude, is also one of the guys that might have a misconception, man. Rocky is crazy, dude. I love Rocky, man. I love having him on Facebook because you just don't know, dude. He's out of left field all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But he is probably one of the smartest guys that I've ever known, man.
Yep, he's out there, man. I that's my brother. That's my really, really close brother, and I've known him my whole life since we were little, and I still talk to him this day. He lives up. He's up in Colorado right now, living his dream. And
there
it's awesome because there's a lot of stuff I can't talk about online, but there's a lot of cool stuff that he's really sat down. Like you said, he's really smart. He sat down and researched some things and. We found out a lot of cool things about the human body that most people don't know, you know. And
there you go.
It's awesome because, I don't know. There's a lot of more freedom up in Colorado, and they're starting to pave the way towards the way people look at marijuana. And it's also it helps the rest of the United States, I guess, see how the world could, I guess, take it in for all the good things that it also helps, you know. And he's a crazy maniac. He's still doing his thing. He's still out there doing his thing, and I always vouch for him.
Got love for Rocky on this podcast. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
All right, man. So the other one I was gonna tell you, man, Trivium. So my brother listens to the same music pretty much as well. We've gone to see Trivium at the White Rabbit years ago, and seen him at different festivals and stuff like that. And we consider Trivium's music to be smart metal.
Yes.
Because it's not easy for somebody that just says they listen to rock or listen to metal to just listen to that music, because the guitar work is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing. The drum work is good. And I always say that whenever you have somebody that can play guitar and sing at the same time,
that's a
freaking talent.
Yeah, that is a talent in its own. I've tried it and I still don't got it down.
Yeah, man. So that band, I just wanted to throw that out there, man, because me and my brother, we were big fans of Trivium and been listening to them since the first CD ever came out.
I saw Trivium last time whenever it was right before the White Rabbit closed. Devil Driver and Trivium both came.
Ah, yeah.
And I went and saw. I was there to see Devil Driver, and we were there, and Trivium pretty much came on after them, and they played to a packed house, so they had the doors on the side open.
Yeah, exactly.
And like you were saying, that the way they write their music, the way I write our music is it starts with the intro, goes to a chorus, then back to, I guess, to like a pre-chorus, okay, and then back to the chorus again, then a verse, and then it goes to an outro, and then a solo. We throw one solo in there, and then that's it. So very simple. Trivium songs, man, they're back and forth. There has to be at least two different verses in the song.
Yeah.
And then a solo and halfway through the song, and then a solo that's going through the out of the song. And it's very technical. Like, I've always said too, is that if I was in the studio on that band, I would. There's a lot of work that had to be done.
Oh, you yeah. You know what I
mean? And it's not just one guitar player. It's actually two really good guitar players in that band.
Exactly, man. Exactly. Yeah, dude. So that's actually one of the bands I consider smart metal, man. Another band I'd probably throw in there would be the Human Abstract before they turned a little bit more mainstream. Mm-hmm. One of their first albums back in the day was, man, guitar work is just insane, man. But with that, dude, I wanna go ahead and just recap, man, on the stuff you got coming up here again for everybody that's listening to this podcast.
Oh, that's right.
Want to go ahead and get on the shows, and then your label, anticipated album date, or you know whenever that's gonna come out as well.
Cool.
You know, shout it out, man, right now. Good time to promo right now.
We have that show that we're doing here in Somerset on Saturday. It's going to be an all-day thing, and if anybody that can hear this that's actually close or not close, come and take a trip out here to Somerset and enjoy a little country view, and we're going to start it at 12 o'clock, and we're going to rock it all the way till the bar closes. So hopefully we'll have enough music all day long to catch a little bit of everybody. And then what I was really planning on doing was trying to get all my old friends together so that way we could just pretty much how we used to throw a party out here in the country. We would just throw a party at the Legion, and then now we have people that are going to play. We got, like I said, we got the 4th of July show coming up. I know we have actually a show in Laredo that I just found out maybe practice on Tuesday that we're supposed to be playing in an arena. And it's going to be the first arena show that we're supposed to be playing. And it's not confirmed yet, but I'll be the first to tell you whenever we figured it out. We're supposed to get a little bit of money for gas and get out there, and we'll check it out. So once we check it out, it'll be another one of those notches on our belt. And we hope to, we'll get, you know, everybody will know the name Red Ivy eventually. And like I said, everybody always tells me they're not able to make it to the show or this show, one show. I'll tell them, don't worry about it because we're not done yet. We're going to keep jamming, and there's more shows to come. If you can't make it to this one, I guarantee you we'll put a show just together for you guys just to check out the next one. You know what I'm saying, brother? I'm not really good on the dates. I really should probably get a lot better on, you know what I mean, with the knowing the dates.
Like I was saying, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah. Honestly, at the practice house, I have a chalkboard that has everything chalked up on it. But I'm really trying to, what I'm hoping to get is for a label to come up with these stickers in our CDs. CDs and t-shirts. Because I had this little epiphany. I told my wife, I was like, well, where I live in San Antonio, we drive around the corner, and there's always a lot of panhandlers out there, you know. And I guarantee you, from Marbach all the way to the north side, all the way to the east side, panhandlers. I was telling my label, if they could buy me a bunch of shirts, we'll sell half of them. And a good 25 of those shirts, I was thinking to go and give to the panhandlers to wear. That way, it's like a billboard sign all day long. They can sit there and they panhandle their thing, but they got a Red Ivy t-shirt.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm pretty sure eventually some of our friends will be like, wow, is that really the Red Ivy I know? And be like, yeah. And hopefully, hopefully give them a little clean shirt and get them out there. And hopefully it's not a summer during the summer because most likely our shirts are going to be black. But
dude, that logo is that logo in itself is man, that logo stuck in my mind, dude. I'll be honest with you, man. That's a good one, dude. I like that. I would have never thought of that.
Well, that's good. Thank you so much. It came to me in a vision.
And then I want to touch on so you're recording an album right now as well, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How many songs, and when are you looking at probably getting that out?
It's going to be a 6-song EP, and we should have it out by the end of July. We're hoping it's supposed to be out by the end of this month. That's what we're hoping. But at the rate that we're recording it right now, it seems like the label and the producer are taking their time with it, and they're mixing it slowly. And so I'm giving more trust into them. Like I said, too, this is the first time I've ever been in the studio. And from what I hear, it's $500 a song. And usually I was the one that had to pay for that. And that's when we realized how we could record to our laptops and record and try to do it ourselves. But the magic that I've seen these guys do in the studios, the big boy studios, it's amazing. It's really amazing, and the clarity and the what they could do with the music that you have. It's kind of, you have an idea or a vision, and they bring it to life. But hopefully we're looking for the end of this month or the next month to get the CD out. And once it is, I'm gonna give it to all my people that have been with us from day one, and let them hear it, and hopefully it's one of those CDs that they could put on put in their CD player and just let it go 1 to 12 or 1 to 6.
It's better than 1 to 1.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, man. Well, thanks, man. Thanks for coming out, dude. I really appreciate it, man. I definitely wish nothing but the best for the band, man. Anytime you got something new coming up, man, if you want to come back on the podcast, man, we'll get you back on. Definitely, we'll promote you as much as we can, man. I definitely want to support y'all in any way that I can, especially if it's just through podcast, man.
Thank you, brother.
With that being said, guys, Red IV this Saturday, American Legion. Red IV is going on about 10:30 p.m. at the American Legion. If you can, make it out to Somerset. You're definitely going to have a good time. I guarantee it. And keep an eye out for Red IV. Thanks, everybody, for listening. All right. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast, everybody. I want to thank my friend Corey Epps, the guitarist of Red IV, for coming through. I've been wanting to do this podcast with him for a while, being that it's, you know, me and him share metal roots. So I'm really glad we're able to do that. Thank you, everybody, for listening. As well, I want to go ahead and thank my sponsor as well, James Bondock, owner of Bondock Roofing. Now, I know we had a lot of rains come through and a lot of storms come through the last few weeks, and a lot of houses did get really messed up. I've seen a lot of them, and I've seen a lot of his work that he's been doing right now. He's actually very busy. Guys, if you need work done on your roof, go ahead and let me know. We'll get you a special code, or we can get you $100 off any full roof replacement, or we'll get you $25 off any roof repair. Again, that's Bondock Roofing. Go to bondockroofing.com, check out his work. He's he has great ratings with the Better Business Bureau, great ratings on Angie's List. I mean, this guy is just highly recommended, and he's going to give you a great price. So if you need any roof work done, protect your investment. James Bondock at Bondock Roofing can take care of you. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast. We'll see you next time.